Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, welcome to Haves New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is one of our legal topics episodes. I'm going to be discussing buying a co-op or a condo in Brooklyn. Stay tuned for Bob.
Lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown.
Once again, we're on House New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight's our legal topics episode, and we're going to be discussing just a general overview of buying a co-op or condo in Brooklyn, some of the legal ramifications of making that purchase. And once again, as always, here is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome, everyone, to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason told you, tonight we're going to be talking about buying a co-op or condo in New York. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on what are co-ops versus condos? Let's hear what your version is, and then I'll launch into my version of what they are.
But you read my mind. I thought that that's exactly how we would start, is by just determining just what is a co-op and a condo, and what the differences between the two and, you know, why one would buy one over the other. I own a co-op, and or I own, I guess the reality is I own a part of a cooperative. And the way I understand it, as the definition is, as a cooperative or co-op, you own shares versus a condo where you own the actual physical space. I think is the main difference in, as far as I understand it.
Yes, yeah, so that's a very good, you know, basic definition of co-ops and condos. So co-ops, although they've been around for a long time, and we see some in New York City, the Scandinavians like this idea. Decades ago, they would buy an apartment building. Group of people would get together, buy the apartment building. They'd all have their own unit, and they would share the expenses of the entire building, either you know, equally or unequally, depending on the size of their particular units. Then fast forward to the 80s, when for some reason co-oping became the rage. Anybody who owned a multiple family building and was renting it out had the opportunity to start selling off those pieces, those units, individually. And of course, the math is pretty apparent. You know, rather than sell a chunk of something, that is the building, if you sell the parts, you're probably going to get a heck of a lot more money out of the parts than you are if you sell it as a chunk. So somewhere in the real estate community and the legislature of New York State, laws were passed allowing apartment buildings to be converted to co-ops. And this was really a rage. The owners of the building called sponsors were very enthusiastic. The individual owners of the individual occupants of the apartment, there were some mixed feelings. If you had some money, you thought this was an excellent opportunity to buy what they called insider rights and to buy your unit below market value. Of course, the trick there is, what the heck is market value? But in any event, just the thought of buying something below market value intrigued a lot of people. There were a good number of people, though, who didn't have money and were against this idea of having to buy their unit. They didn't have the money. They didn't want to invest all that money. They just wanted to keep on, for a variety of reasons, just keep on paying rent to a landlord. And the law was pretty much structured so that if you wanted to buy, you could, but you probably could not be evicted by the landlord if you chose not to. Those were called non-eviction plans. So as the years developed, a lot of people bought their apartments, and the building was a cooperative, meaning that all of the decision-making and bill-paying for the building was done in a cooperative manner. There was a board. There were officers. Everybody had their role. Maybe if the building was large enough, they'd hire a management company to collect rents and pay bills and take care of maintenance and things. If they were smaller, then the people themselves would rotate, taking responsibility for the various jobs, such as paying the bills, hiring contractors, collecting the rents, making deposits, and things of that nature. So now in the 2016s, co-ops are still a pretty big piece of the New York real estate scene. However, they're falling a little out of fashion. Of course, there are millions of them, so the co-ops will, you know, the idea of a co-op will never end in New York, but now we're starting to see the development of condos. Now, before we jump to what a condo is, we have to understand that in a cooperative, people get together, they decide together, and another important aspect of a co-op is that you get to screen people who are coming into your building want after you've gotten, and the vice versa. You get to determine whether or not someone can sell their apartment to whoever. So that aspect of the board reviewing the transaction to either approve a seller's buyer, some boards have become a little finicky and decide that they only want AAA type buyers coming in. Sellers say, I got to get out of my unit, I'm moving, I lost my job, I want a bigger place. And the person I brought you, the buyer, is a good person, good financials, you know, not spectacular, but good, you know, like everybody else in the building. But co-ops occasionally decline them, and the sellers get bent out of shape. They can't get rid of their apartment. They're stuck there. And the seller and the buyers are saying, why did they decline me? I had a pretty good rating and everything. So those factors contributed to people not, the preference maybe shifting a little from co-ops to condos. Now, what do you think, Jason? Have you encountered any of those issues in your cooperative setting?
Oh, all the time. Was a member of the board a number of years ago, the co-op issues seem to be, just from, you know, someone who's never been in a condo, I imagine that the issues are far fewer. It almost seems like we have daily issues in the co-op, and, you know, with regard to who is maybe doing something in the common space that they're not supposed to be doing, damages to the roof, repairs from local law 11. It seems like it's a never-ending siege of issues. The heating bill, all the things that go into managing that property, it becomes quite a Herculean task when you consider the condo. I'm sure that they have a lot of the same issues, but it just seems like, especially when you mix in owners with some of the rent stabilized, so you have those that culture clash as well. You know, I think even that the rent stabilized people complain more about the things in the building than the actual owners do. But it does really present enormous challenges, and I mean, I think it does take a certain type of makeup to want to live in that environment.
Yes, it's very much, you know, we're hearing in politics the word socialism, but it is very much in the sense, you know, a socialistic, you know, grouping of people. They have to they all have to live together, they all have to work together. They all have to agree together, and I don't need to tell you, you've seen this when you have 50 or 100 apartment owners getting together. There could sometimes be several hundred different types of opinions. People could have multiple opinions, so it does make for a little bit of spicy life. So that was one contributing factor. You know, people just got fed up of having to make joint, you know, decisions, and they were tired of going along to get along. And then the condos came along, and, you know, possibly because a lot of the apartment buildings had a lot of the rental apartment buildings, because of the state of the economy back in the 80s and 90s, had already become co-ops. And the idea of condos came along, and condo, unlike a co-op, when you own a co-op, you can't really say you own real property. Real property is land and buildings that are attached to land. when you own a co-op, you own personal property. Personal property is, you know, jewelry, money, clothing, and stocks. It just so happens that in a co-op, you own stock in a company that owns a building. But you don't own the building. You own the stock still. So you own personal property. Well, people also got a little bugged out about that idea and probably wanted to own a piece of the rock rather than own a piece of paper. And condos started to come along as a kind of popular idea. The problem in New York City with condos is that there's not a heck of a lot of land left anymore to build, and most of the condos that you're seeing, at least in the Brooklyn area, with the exception of maybe downtown Brooklyn and some parts of Williamsburg, small properties, 6, 8, 10 unit buildings are going in as condos. And the idea of a condo is that, this is hard to understand, but you own a three-dimensional space, and it could be a couple hundred feet in the air. It's not touching the dirt. But you own the space within that three-dimensional space, the walls within, you know, your apartment. And then you own a part of the hallway, a part of the basement, a part of the roof, a part of the recreation area, the washing machine area. Those are called common, you know, common elements, common spaces. And taken all together, between the space that you live in and the little piece of space that you own of the hallways and the lobbies, that makes 100% ownership of the building. So you do end up owning real property. Now, condos were attractive because they didn't have that veto aspect when you get ready to buy or sell in the condo. Theoretically, you could sell just to about whoever you wanted to. So that was pretty attractive to people. They felt free from the restriction of the co-op board, their arbitrary decisions, their dictatorial ways. And that was appealing to a lot of people, that they could buy something, say they really own it, and yet not be hassled by co-op board. Jason, do you have any involvement or knowledge of friends or family who are in condos and what the feelings they express in terms of ownership?
Not currently. A number of years ago, I knew some folks that were in a condo, and but not for years. So I don't know. I don't know if those would even still be relevant, any of those concerns. But they never seem to equate to the co-op issues of the past 10 years I've encountered.
Right. Yes. So it haven't risen to that level. But let me tell you that, you know, as condos developed and people were happy they could do whatever the heck they wanted to, of course there were some excesses somewhere. People did whatever they wanted to do, and you were still, much like the co-op, you were in a building with, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 other units. So even though you really wanted to do whatever the heck you wanted to do in your unit, you were still kind of constrained by the units and the people that lived around you. So condos started developing rules and regulations of their own. This was pretty much a free-willing society. Things may have gotten out of a little hand. People may have started to realize, hey, maybe we need a framework within which we have to all coexist. And condos started developing some rules. And although they don't have a veto power over who you sell to or who you buy from, they still have some sort of power about things you can do in your unit and things of other natures. Like, you still get together to make a budget. So the budget, you know, somebody could want a lot of flowers in their front yard. Other people want grass. Other people want stone. Other people want shrubs. So you still have to have that get along attitude with regard, you know, even though you're in a condo. And once again, there's nothing to say in a condo that the roof doesn't spring a leak or your building needs to be pointed. You need insurance. And, of course, everybody has their own idea or a brother-in-law who's in the insurance business or a contractor. And there is some tension there, once again, you know, living together. But you still don't have that veto power that co-ops have. And that is still a pretty attractive, you know, element. Now, in terms of condos, once again, I mentioned that there's not a heck of a lot of space, you know, new, you know, empty space that they're building on. Although, I think on our show we did talk about, you know, some of the huge buildings that are going up in downtown Brooklyn, skyscrapers. Some, you know, might be some of the tallest residential buildings in New York City, and depending on the financial outlook of the developer, their goals. Some may be rentals, but I think the majority are going to be, you know, condos. But these are super duper condos, you know, hundreds, you know, 100 stories tall, which are pretty big. But unlike the condos that most of us are and probably go for 1.5 million and up, the condos we're talking about that are spread throughout the Bay Ridge, Sheepshead Bay, Flatbush area are probably in the 500 and up and consist of smaller buildings, 6 to 10 units, parking space for each, you know, unit, and you know, that's basically what we're dealing with. But the you know, what made co-ops and condos so different as the years went on, they're kind of looking alike after all these years. Not a heck of a lot of difference. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think aside from the aesthetics of it, where the typical image of a condo is on a smaller lot size, or, you know, in some lot sizes that may have been, you know, a one family house at one point, and maybe a developer comes in and says, yeah, I could probably make more money if I put a half a dozen units here where I can't put an apartment building. It seems like that's the impression of the image of a condo set up that most people in Brooklyn probably have in their head. Now, like you mentioned, we've got these superstructures that they're condos, and that probably goes against what most people envision as a condo. A question I would have is in terms of purchasing. If you're purchasing one over the other, do either of them have anything distinctive? Distinctive qualities in from the legal side of it, like if I'm purchasing a condo or if I'm purchasing a co-op, is it apples and apples, or are there certain things that, you know, may apply to a condo purchase that don't apply to a co-op purchase?
Well, there are a couple of distinctions. Co-ops, you know, price is one of them. Co-op versus a condo, sometimes the condos are twice the price of a co-op. Maybe a Shore Road co-op in Bay Ridge, one bedroom, that's $300. If it was a condo, although probably more bedrooms in the condo, you know, could be in the $500,000 or $600,000 range. So price is one consideration. Once again, that board interview that you have to do with a co-op is not present in the condo setting. In terms of financing, rates are pretty much the same. At least now they're, you know, high threes, mid to high threes. And closing costs, there is a significant difference. Closing costs on a co-op, maybe a $200,000 or $300,000 co-op, where you get some financing, you know, might be in the $5,000 or $6,000 range. Comparable condo, although I don't think there are too many $300,000 condos, could be maybe $10,000. Why? When you get to real property again, your condo is real property, and you're taking a loan against it, you have mortgage tax. Mortgage tax isn't applicable at this moment, although the legislature will probably try to change that sometime. But mortgage tax on a co-op is non-existent. Mortgage tax on a condo could be approximately a little less than 2%. Then with a co-op, you wouldn't do a title search because you don't own anything except shares of stock, but you would do a thing called a lien search. And similarly, in a condo, you would order title insurance. Once you get searches and things of that nature, you would end up with title insurance guaranteeing that these people own the property and you bought the place free and clear of any liens, loans, or judgments. So that's also an added cost. So, you know, a couple things. Co-op interview is still big versus no condo interview. Prices of co-ops could be half of comparably sized condo. Closing costs for co-op, maybe once again half of that of a condo. And those are pretty, you know, those are things that are still driving the market one way or the other. Whether, you know, the mindset of the buyer, whether they really need to know or feel that they're owning something that they can do whatever they want with, that's probably the person who's going to buy the condo. Person of more modest means really is just looking for a nice apartment to live in, maybe some stability that they wouldn't find in the rental market, maybe a little appreciation. Those are the people who are going for the co-op. So those are pretty much the considerations one would have in deciding whether to go with a condo or a co-op.
Well, that real tangible difference there that, you know, could be one of those things that slips through the cracks, especially when you're talking about comparing condos and co-ops versus one or the other to a house, is that mortgage tax, and that could be one of those things that kind of gets overlooked, and you don't really think about it, and then it kind of, it's one of those hidden costs that kind of spring up on you when you're like, oh, well, I didn't know I had to pay. I thought that was just property tax on a house, and when you're really looking at both spaces being pretty much very similar setups and both apartment style living, you one doesn't really take into consideration that mortgage tax that you would get hit on with a condo that you don't currently feel with a co-op.
Right, and then take it to the next level. You're buying a house, of course. You might buy co-op for $300, a condo for $600, a house for $1 million. Say you're getting 80% financing on $1 million, $800,000 times two, you have a mortgage tax of almost $16,000. So yes, it, not only does it creep up on you, but once it's crept up on you, it clunks you over the head.
Sure. Well, I think with that, that image, we're coming to the end of our legal topics episode.
Yes, and in the future, we'll probably talk about considerations when you buy a co-op. Or work that you have to do before you decide to buy a co-op and work, and of course your attorney will do that for you, and work that's involved in buying a condo also that, you know, your attorney will do on your behalf. But this concludes tonight's radio program that we talked about the distinctions between co-ops, condos. We hope this has been helpful in straightening out any misconceptions or misinformation that you may have had. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.